All right, when Terrell asked me, I went, okay, but I'm not doing it by myself. So then I approached these lovely ladies and I'm like, God put four questions on my heart and let's answer them and share with everyone and encourage them. So for those of you who might not know me, I'm the wife of almost 20 years to Pastor Terrell. I'm the mother of Sierra, Kale, and Abigail, my lovely trio, who may not always want to be here but are always willing to help when they're asked to jump in with the kids or on Super Sunday or on base. And we appreciate them for that. I'm part of the nuts and bolts behind the scenes. You'll see me back there clicking buttons. We have been blessed to call this our home church for over 10 years. To my right, Pastor Corey's wife, Jennifer, mother of Laurel and Emma, an occupational therapist. She has a teacher preaching style where she loves to use visual examples that always sit on your heart. She's a friend. She's compassionate, tender-hearted, loyal, and has a desire to learn and draw near to the Father's heart.
I want to do a few thank yous right now. So I want to thank Char for taking the lead on this whole opportunity to speak. She had the vision and the focus for it, and she gave us these questions to ponder on and expound on today. So I thank you for that leadership. And as Char was introducing me today, I realized, especially day of all days, I need to highlight someone special. So today, I want you all to know that I am the daughter of a faithful father, Charles Lambert. Yes. And I just want to honor him today. So happy Father's Day, Dad. And I'm so glad that you're doing so very well. And my last thank you is to honor our Heavenly Father, because he, and I want to highlight one of his miracles. A long time ago, when my dad, Charlie, was a young boy, he got very sick, and his parents brought him to the old hospital, the museum that is now sitting just back from the Tourist Information Center. And Dad saw the medical team there, and because of his illness, they made my Grandma Lambert stay the night with him. But they sent Grandpa Lambert home to fetch a box, a coffin, because they told them that Charlie would not make the night. Well, Arnold Erickson was the minister here at that time, and he was summoned to pray for young Charlie. And I believe God worked a miracle on behalf of my dad that day. And I believe another miracle happened when our churches united and in this community, because it was not until that celebration when Julianne Simpson shared this story about Arnold Erickson praying for my dad that I knew anything about that miracle. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for healing Dad. I thank you for healing the split church. And I continue, Father God, to pray for our continued healing. Now I have the wonderful privilege of introducing the lady to my right. Her name is Golda. Golda Fern Goodzik. Nee Foster. She used to be a Foster. And I have known Golda all my life because when her son Stephen was born that year, I was born a little later. And we ended up doing Sunday school events together forever. And she has always been Auntie Golda to me. She has been a faithful confidant when I had tough work dilemmas. She was someone to give me wisdom to navigate life. She's been a pillar at the Riverside Bible Camp and loves to make sure that everyone has a wonderful camp experience. This might involve a Band-Aid and a heartfelt hug or a cinnamon bun from that famous angel biscuit dough recipe. Golda is a retired LPN and part of many births and deaths and everything in between. She also worked in our stores department at the hospital and stocked supplies for every department. At one time, our hospital did all its own cleaning and sterilization of tools. Even gloves had to be washed and powdered. And Golda did many of these tasks. She was a vital part of our ambulance crew and worked victim services. She was our youth group director and took our crew on weekend retreats, always giving fun devotions for our youth. She's assisted with the ladies' groups in our church, hosting prayer meetings, helping organize food functions from mystery suppers to funeral lunches and ladies' retreats where we compiled the Samaritan Purse shoeboxes. And, of course, the family day brunches for the entire community. She ran Sunday school as the superintendent and was involved with Christmas concerts, in practice nights, and organizing the candy bags. She's an advocate. She's the daughter of Pop Foster, who is her greatest witness in this great cloud of witnesses gone on before us, because Pop Foster has now in glory rooting for her. And she's the daughter of Nan Foster, who taught her to love with her whole being. Golda is wife to George, who this year has moved into assisted living care. She's the mother to Stephen and Sylvia, and Auntie Golda to everyone, but grandma to three of her most cherished people on earth, Emma, Jordan, and Dayton. I know I've left out some vital stats on Golda, but her name says it all. She's precious gold. I love you, Auntie.
I don't know how to say it. Thank you, Jennifer. I don't know that person. It's my privilege and honor to introduce the lady to my right. And she's not someone I've known all my life, but she's someone I've really appreciated when she came into it. Her name is Ansi Capon, and Ansi came from South Africa. And she grew up on a mission station. I don't know much about that, but I'm just picking up what she's told me in pieces. Trained as a doctor, and a few years ago, Ern Murray came to Canada and chose Manning as their home. So thank you for doing that. You have blessed us with your presence, your talents, and your profession as a doctor. Your beautiful children, and your ability to trust God and raise a hallelujah in very difficult situations. We love you and we honor you, and we're so glad that you're with us.
Thank you, Golda. I'll also just then quickly say something about my dad, since I'm not introducing a lady to my right. I am very honored. I have two grandpas who loved the Lord very much. One, a farmer from a long, centuries-long line of farmers who experienced and loved God in the seasons, in the drought, in the floods. God was steadfast to him. My other grandpa is an engineer who came to Christ late in life after a hard battle, because my grandpa's a real stubborn person. And to him, God is real and personal and quite private, but you see God in everything my grandpa does and how he does it. My dad came to Christ at age 16 and knew immediately that God had called him to be a missionary. So he went to seminary school, and then in 1993, after a 30-year-long civil war in Mozambique, he took his wife and his 6-year-old and 4-year-old and went to Mozambique, full of landmines, malaria, and generally just a war-torn country. And my dad has shown me how God can take an arrogant, brash, explosive person who loves him and never, ever stop working on his character and who he is and what he does. My dad loves God and doesn't hide his imperfections, but is constantly showing me that you can grow, and you're never too old to grow. I had a foster father type of thing, a guardian, when I went to South Africa at age 15 to go finish high school, and he navigated the teens with someone who did not want to be in his house and did not think anything is fair or that anybody understood her, and he just showed up every day with grace and kindness and helped me through that. And then my godfather at university, who's a doctor. And again, I am so grateful for his steady presence, just guiding me. And so God has blessed me with many, many father figures, and all of them showed me a different aspect of God's love and how he loves us.
All right, so we're going to head into the four questions here. What is a verse that has revealed the Father's heart toward you? So I have a verse that has revealed the Father's heart towards me is Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. The message says, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. And the Amplified, the Lord is good, and there is no end to his faithful love. We can trust him forever and ever. I find the world likes to try and tell me that God's not good. But I remind myself with that verse, my Father is good, and he has good plans for me and my children, and I can and will trust him.
So a verse that reveals the Father God's heart towards me is Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when, you should all underline this one in your Bibles, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, he made us alive together with Christ. And further on it says, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I trust you really heard the word of God here in these verses. God is all about fathering us. He intends to raise us. He intends to show you and to help you figure out your place to be seated with Christ. Father God's heart toward us is always to show us his kind grace again and again and again, because Paul calls it his grace being boundless.
The verse that I've chosen that shows me the Father's heart is from Isaiah 41 and 10. This verse has been hanging on my wall since Christmas. My daughter and son-in-law made plaques for me, and I've been sitting in my chair and looking at this verse through a very difficult winter. And so I have really proved that God has showed me this verse in the reality of my life this year. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. To me, God was saying, don't be afraid, daughter. I'm right here. I'm with you, so you don't need to worry about it. You don't need to be so scared. Don't wipe your tears. Don't be downfallen. For I am your Father God. And the word will, I will strengthen you. And I'm going to be here to help you make all those decisions that you have trouble making. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm not handing you over to anybody else, but you're in my hands. And that's what that's spoken to me this past winter, of a Father God that just wants to be there and wants to take those things from me and help me through it.
One John 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we may be called the sons of God. And that is what we are. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The NIV says, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished unto us, that we may be called the sons of God. not servants or bond slaves, but a part of him, part of his nuclear family, not a cousin or, you know, an in-law, but a son, his. We belong to him, not as a possession, but as a beloved, chosen person that he calls his own to be with him. I think that is just something to ponder on forever, how much God loves us, that that is what he chose to call us.
All good verses. So our next question, who is one of your favorite father figures from the Bible and why? I chewed on this one a while and I went over a few of them and then I went, God the Father. I thought, out of all of them, yeah, he's the one who has never failed me. He's the one who showed up when I messed up. He's the one who showed me grace and kindness and security and love that casts out fear. He gave his son so I could draw near and know him more and more.
I picked the same as Shar did. It was our Heavenly Father as the greatest father figure from the Bible. I found that he has found our perfect sacrifice, and because of Jesus, Father God can extend sonship to us. In Galatians, it speaks about how Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. In Hebrews 12, it speaks of how Christ went to the cross for the joy set before him. Where do you think Jesus learned to be so sacrificial? From his Heavenly Father. And Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Similar to Golda's, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
Well, I chose a gentleman in the Bible as a father figure. I don't know about a favorite one, but one that shows me that what a father is. And I chose Joseph, Mary's husband. And he was the man who raised Jesus into his childhood, teenage years, until we know Jesus coming into the scriptures as a young man. Joseph, as a young man, was faced with a very difficult decision to make. Mary is engaged woman, as we would call it today, he was engaged to or betrothed to, was pregnant. And yet they had never been together. Was she unfaithful to him? All these questions. So he had a decision to make. And he planned to put Mary away for Mary's sake. He loved her. He didn't want her to become a talking whatever. But to put her away. But God. An angel came to Joseph and explained what was happening. Joseph listened and did as he was told. We see this happening a couple other times, including taking his young family to Egypt to protect this baby Jesus. Joseph was a man of action. He didn't sit there and say, I wonder, was that really from God? Was that an illusion I was having? Did I just have a dream that this guy came to me and spoke? He got up and he did exactly as he was told. He was a man of action. And he was faithful as a earthly father to God's son, Jesus. And he was the one who went out with Mary when Jesus was 12 and looked for him when they missed him gone from the temple when they were on their way home. So Joseph was not, he was invested into this relationship to make it grow. And I could see so much of my own father when I read the story, when you read the story of Joseph, invested, a man of action, and faithful as an earthly father.
My favorite one is Jairus, and I'll just tell you the story again. So Jairus, this little girl was really sick. She was on her deathbed, and he made a decision to leave his daughter on her deathbed, moments away from death, to go to Jesus and say, please, I know if you could only touch her, she would live. So he goes to Jesus, he falls down on his knees, he begs Jesus. I mean, there's a crowd of people all over, everybody's looking at this guy. He doesn't care, he's on his knees, he's begging, Lord, come, please save my little girl. And Jesus says yes, and they start walking, and then the urgent mission gets interrupted by the woman with the 12 years of bleeding. And so he's just standing there, and Jesus is talking to this woman, and he's still talking to this woman when someone comes and says, your daughter's dead, stop bothering this teacher. And Jesus heard and said, no, don't get worked up, only believe. So they walk and they get to his house, and there is a huge fuss. People are crying and screaming and, you know, observing the traditional mourning. And Jesus commanded them to stop it, and they all laughed at Jesus. But this dad stood by Jesus. I mean, he knows that what Jesus is doing here is alienating him from all of his support. Jesus is turning the people against him and his family while his daughter is apparently dead. So they went up. Jesus took his hand and said, Talita kum, and then told him to feed him, to feed her. And so in this story, I see true faith. I see sacrifices. I see hard choices guided by faith in God. And I see the showing up, the feeding of his daughter. I see such a dad that I think all of us could look up to. This is a father after God's heart.
Okay, moving on. What is a nugget of truth your earthly father passed on to you? So my dad passed in 2014. He was a hard worker, tender-hearted with his grandkids. I loved to see his smile when he would play and interact with them. A couple nuggets of truth that I bring into most of my daily life. If you're going to do something, do it right and finish what you start. I share a time my dad fixed the roof on a house we were living in Drayton. It was leaking or something. There were ants getting in through it. So the owner was aware of it. We were renting it at the time. Dad took the time to totally pull it apart. Went down right to the rafters. I think he increased the size of it, made it deeper, and then re-insulated and redid it all. One of the neighbors, a good neighbor, came over with cinnamon buns. We were chatting, and she's like, why do you take the time to do all that? If you're going to do something, do it right.
So a nugget of truth that my earthly father passed on to me. The word is sacrifice. My dad knew the importance of giving of himself to teach us life lessons. When my oldest sister, Kelly, who had Down syndrome, was little, the doctors told mom and dad to leave her in an institution to be educated. But Kelly would not let go of my dad's finger. And he knew she was his responsibility. And no way could he leave her there alone. So move to Grand Prairie they did in the winter so that Kelly could go to school. And that was an entire uproot of the family, but he knew it needed to be done. Sacrifice. When I had my first car accident, it was my first year of college. And, you know, just to be able to tell Dad to give the burden of insurance claims and repair bills over to him. He bore the burden. Sacrifice. And then he would make the 3-hour, a one-way drive to Grand Prairie to come get me many weekends that first year. That white car would be waiting for me outside of the college at the end of a long week. And oh, the devoted conversations of travel together. Life lessons taught. Driving the many hours together. Sacrifice. Dad was a board member for many years. He devoted his time and energy to helping build and maintain the Temple Church building, always arriving early to help shovel walks in the winter, maybe even bring a disabled man to church. They still live 15 miles out of town, But Dad would have the time to change a flat tire and still get to church in time to help out before the service. There was none of this walk in 5 minutes before the service. He was faithful to the service of the church and to his fellow church family. All these acts were done in a steady faithfulness. The reassurance and security I never doubted, because it's always been there. Dad, you are a wonderful example of our Heavenly Father and the sacrifices he too gives us steadily and faithfully. Thank you, Dad.
I am in my 70s, as you all know, and I had the privilege to have my dad present in my life until this past January when he passed away. And 52 years of those years, I've been living away across the other side of the country, way on the other side. And I've never felt separated. First when I went there, there was no telephone. There was a telephone, but it was to get there was very difficult. So we wrote letters. And when I was moving this summer, last summer, I found the letter that my dad wrote to me. We needed special interpretational skills to read his writing. But he wrote this letter to me, and I wrote many, but I still have one that he wrote. My dad was very, very involved in our lives, even though he worked away a lot and was not home often. Not home, many, you know, months not home. But when he was very present in our lives. He taught me so much. We trusted our dad with anything. We lived on the ocean, and that was my dad's life. Was fishing in my early childhood years. And we didn't have huge boats like you see on Deadliest Catch or something like that. We had a small boat and a skiff, they called it, for going out fishing. And we went with Dad on that ocean in that boat, and we trusted him. And the first time I went out with George on the lake, I was scared silly. And he said to me, "Why, you've been raised on the water." I said, "But Dad's not here." I hadn't learned to trust him that much yet. Dad's not here. We learned to trust him. We learned to listen, to hear what he said. And what I learned from my dad, I grew up in a family of Christian background, my grandfathers and my dad. And I remember hearing my grandfather pray for us kids and say our names, even in his Alzheimer's stage. He would know all our names. See, my other grandfather sit with his head bowed in the kitchen window as we could look out. And morning after morning, as my dad got up to go to work, or go out and fishing, he'd be up early in the morning, and we hear him pray our names out down in the kitchen. Or sometimes you went around the corner to the woodshed as he was splitting the wood, and he'd be on his knees in front of the wood, the block, splitting block, and he'd be praying. Something would come in his mind, and he would drop down and he'd pray. Probably it's one of us kids that was doing something or having a difficult time. But or a neighbor, but that was his, he would drop right where he was then, and he would pray for that. He showed us that to include God in all of our plans. He told me one time, he said, "Goldie, you are great for making plans. You always got something you're going to do." But he said, "Remember," he said, "life is like a vapor. It comes and goes." He said, "But God is eternal, so always include him in everything that you're doing, planning to do." Also, my dad was humorous. I got to say this. I got it because, I mean, those of you that knew him knew that he loved a story. And I bought the first car in our family. And Dad went with me lots of times when we were going places. And we had a road that's not going to mean a thing, but it was called Lassie Road. And I liked to go down that road. And so Dad was driving with me one day, and he said to me, he said, Golda, I have something really important to tell you. And I stopped to listen to what he had to say. And I wondered what he was going to tell me now. He said, well, it's this. He said, you see that pothole ahead of you? I said, yeah. Well, the same thing on the bottom of that one as the one you just hit. So go around it, please. And isn't that life too, you know? We sometimes go into the same potholes. Then he went on to talk about that. Sometimes we go into the same potholes all the time. Sometimes we need just to learn to go around them. And I thank God for my dad. And I got to say, I also thank God for the dad that raised our children. And today, for the first time in 51 years, we're not together in church for Father's Day. I'm sorry. But he raised our kids to love God, to fear God, to love the church, family. He taught them weird things, like to catch mice out of work boots and all this kind of stuff, or to train kittens out to catch mice. He taught them basic skills of life. If you're going to have a car, you need to know how to take care of it. If you're going to do this, you need to know how to do that. He was faithful to them and still is today, and faithful to me as an encourager and a helper and all the things that we needed. And he still is, in a different way.
That question made me think of Zephaniah 3 verse 17 that says, The Lord your God is with you, he the warrior who saves. He is full of joy over you. He is quietly content in his love. He rejoices over you with singing. And that made me think, if my dad takes me aside and he says, Ansi, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of how you're raising your kids. I'm so proud of the job that you do. Or whatever little thing. If my dad takes me aside and he says something like that, man, I am flying for months. You can say whatever the heck you want. My dad told me he's proud of me. And God says he rejoices over us with singing. He quiets us with his love. He is content in his love for us. If my earthly father's little Ansi, I'm so proud of you, can make me fly for months, this should make me never touch ground ever.
All right. Our last one. What is a verse for the fatherly roles of today to be encouraged with? Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will make your steps straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The Amplified says, make your steps straight and smooth. And in the Passion, he will lead you wherever you go. I've learned that the Father does not force himself on anyone. He's a gentleman. He comes beside you and waits for you to take the step. He waits to be asked if you want help. And then he gladly and lovingly does help.
So my verse for the fathers of today is still in Ephesians chapter 2. And if you want to go home this week and read the whole chapter 2, it's very good to meditate on it. It's rich. But this is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are fellow citizens with the saints. You are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You need to know that you are part of God's household. Someone has built into you. So now grow into the holy temple of the Lord. Together as a church family, we are a dwelling of God in the Spirit. A little Sunday school song came to mind. We're building up the temple. We're building up the temple. We're building up the temple for the Lord. Okay, it's time to get up and move around. So get ready. Do you guys know this song? You're going to learn it. Nope, I think I'm loud enough. Okay, there's a for online. Okay, here we go. There's a boys and girls part. So everybody get ready on the seat, on the edge of your seat, because you have to stand up. Okay? Golden knows it. You'll help me with it. We're building up the temple. We're building up the temple. We're building up the temple for the Lord. Say, boys, come and help us. We're building up the temple for the Lord. Let's do it one more time. We're building up the temple. We're building up the temple. We're building up the temple for the Lord. Say, boys, come and help us.
Girls, come and help us.
We're building up the temple for the Lord. Thank you all for just having a moment with us.
I chose a verse that to encourage the fathers, whether you're an older father that have got your children all raised or you're a father that's raising children today. It's not an easy task. And if you're fathers of teenagers, it's not an easy task. And, you know, my kids are grown and they're married with their own families. It's still not easy sometimes because, you know, sometimes mom is the first call. And Sylvia sent me a picture one time that for three kids and says they got a phone each in their hand and they're saying, call 911. No, call Nana. So I'm going back to Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. A phrase that I just read this week that says, stand on your faith and you'll stand forever. Stand on your faith in God and you'll stand forever. And the picture that I got in my mind when I read this verse was, you've all watched eagles fly. They come from anywhere. Ever see one really flap his wings hard to try to take off like you see a seagull do or whatever? No, they just open their wings and they glide. So mount up with wings as eagles. Glide and let the wind of the Spirit be underneath you and direct your path.
Being a parent is not always easy, and probably the second most prayed prayer in our house after, please, Lord, let them sleep, is, please, Lord, give us wisdom. And so I'm giving James 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. He gives wisdom generously, not begrudgingly. He gives without reservations, without criticism. No, I told you so. No, as I said before. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all, everybody. There's not like just the secret little, you know, some of us that are extra special get wisdom. No, to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. God is the ultimate Father, and He made you in His image. He wants to bless you with wisdom to become the Father that He intended you to be.
this and everything, and it was her vision. She asked me about it, and I said, yeah, go for it. Have fun. And I just want to highlight the wisdoms that we got from up here, and that Char first talked about her dad saying, you know, if you're going to do something, do it right. But also, if you start something, then finish it too. And I think that's important. I'm the type of guy, you know, I love to finish things that I start, but I'm also the one that when I measure a board, I'll cut it twice and it'll still be too short. So it's just one of those things. I don't do well on those things unless I actually take the time. And the problem is it takes me 2 or 3 times longer than most people would on some of those repairs. Right, Jen? Yeah. But I still can do it. It's just I have to, yeah, anyways, not about me. Jen, I liked how she said that it was her first accident. But I won't go into that, too many details on that, but love you. I love the pothole story from Golda, but I also liked the Isaiah 40 verse 31 is one of my favorites when it says they that wait upon the Lord, just because I found out over the last year that wait is not what we think it is because of the actual translations of it. It's that we intertwine with God and we are with him. Do you remember the 3-legged race that I had with Mike and Murray? It's like tying yourself to God, and as he guides you, then you'll mount up with wings. And it's not that we have to flap our wings. We just let our wings out and God will let us soar. And then what did you say? Can't remember now. There was something that you had said about your dad. And how did I miss that one? Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. That God is proud of us. Think on that. You know, not just the fact that he lavishes his love on us. The reason he lavishes his love on us is that he's proud of you. No matter what you do, no matter who you are, he created you fearfully and wonderfully. And so go with that God is proud of you and who you are, because he didn't create you to be me. He created you to be you. So continue in that. And so God bless you all. Lord, thank you for this day. And I thank you for all of these fathers that are here today. I thank you for the mothers too, but on this day, we focus on the fathers. And Lord, I thank you that you have given us the perfect example of how to be a father, how to lavish our love on others. And Lord, we bless you and we say to you, Father, happy Father's Day. Amen and amen. God.